You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Update. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a Senior Economist. And today I've got Gareth Aird, the Head of Australian Economics, to talk about what is happening in the housing market. And Gareth, thanks for joining me.
It's a pleasure, Belinda.
Now, a week or so ago, we did publish our revised Australian economic outlook based on what is happening and what we're seeing and thinking will happen in the Australian economy as the coronavirus impacts on the economy through government shutdown measures, social distancing measures. Now, attention quickly turns to the housing market. We are watching some of these leading indicators very closely to get a view about how the housing market will perform during this coronavirus outbreak and the government shutdown measures. Now, the housing market had been one of the strongest points of the Australian economy in recent times. We even saw a little bit of a detach between an underperforming economy and an outperforming housing market. Do you think that's going to continue over the next 6 months?
Yeah, look, Belinda, the housing market had actually been going really, really strongly, basically from when the RBA cut interest rates in June last year. They obviously cut interest rates a few times, and as the interest rate came down, we saw the level of interest in the housing market pick up quite materially, and that's carried right through and basically into where we are today. But we've got such a big shock now to the economy underway that even though the RBA has cut interest rates again, just the negative impact coming through from an expected rise in unemployment, contraction in economic activity means the housing market will get caught up in it. And we've yet to see the house price data turn, but it's our expectation that it's going to turn quite materially now over the next 6 months.
We did see, in particular, the Sydney and Melbourne housing market perform really strongly over that nine-month period from that trough back in May 2019. And then we obviously saw the coalition government be re-elected. We saw the Reserve Bank of Australia start to cut interest rates and changes to the APRA serviceability requirements as well. Do you think the Sydney and Melbourne housing market will underperform during the next 6 months, given they outperformed the previous 9 months?
Look, all housing markets across Australia, in our view, are going to be hit negatively over the next 6 months just because of the huge shock that's happening in the economy, the expected rise in unemployment, and a few other things which we can touch on. But it's our sense that Sydney and Melbourne will be more negatively impacted than the other capital cities. And the primary reason for that is not so much that they had very strong rises in the preceding 9 months, but it's more that the way that the housing markets work in Sydney and Melbourne mean that they're more reliant on a demand impulse that comes through from net overseas migration. And with the borders actually shut at the moment, we're not getting that additional kick to population growth that flows through to demand for housing, and that'll have a bigger negative impact on Sydney and Melbourne. And the other thing is that New South Wales and Victoria at the moment are being more negatively hit by the services sector and what's happening there. So they're more reliant on services, New South Wales and Victoria, and less reliant on mining and agriculture, which are actually holding up relatively well. So again, that sort of feeds into the idea that Sydney and Melbourne we're going to see slightly bigger declines than most of the other capital cities.
I know when we looked at population growth, the Australian population was growing at about 1.5%, but two-thirds of that is coming from that net overseas migration. And for Sydney and Melbourne, those numbers are actually a little bit higher as well. Now, when you break down the outlook for the housing market, you do really focus through on a key number of indicators such as the unemployment rate, sentiment for the housing market. You're looking at rental growth as well, foreign investment, as well as the population growth that we've already touched on. How are some of those leading indicators or those indicators in general likely to impact the housing market over the coming 6 month period?
So So a couple of the forward-looking indicators that we watch on house prices that have historically been very, very good guides as to near-term changes in prices are the auction clearance rates and home buyer expectation. And the home buyer expectations there is really a measure of a monthly read on what households as a collective think is likely to happen to prices. And we saw that read in the Westpac Melbourne Institute monthly consumer confidence survey that came out this week collapsed. It fell by the biggest amount in the survey's history. And it means that there's been a huge change in the expectation of buyers, or of households rather, on where they think prices are going. And at the end of the day, if households as a collective think that prices are going to fall, they invariably will. And that also marries up with the auction clearance rates, which have collapsed over the past few weeks. Now, I know there's a few other things going on there in terms of the auction market itself, where just those physical gatherings aren't able to take place. But nonetheless, those sort of timely reads clearly pick up a change in momentum in the housing market that hasn't yet been reflected in the price data. And then when we overlay a couple of those reads with what we think is going to happen to the labour market in terms of the big, big lift in unemployment that'll flow through to falling house prices, the fact that conditions in the rental market are changing, and generally you see rent come off when unemployment rises, and it's an unusual situation at the moment where the contractual obligations between landlords and tenants are actually being altered by the government. And that in and of itself will probably mean the investor bid comes off over the next 6 months. And then as we touched on before, you're not getting that demand pulse come through via immigration as well. So when you put all that together, even with the fact that interest rates have gone down, we think we're looking at pretty sharp declines in the housing market over the next 6 months, probably around the magnitude of 10% nationally.
And as we said before, we think the Sydney and Melbourne market could underperform that. So what do those forecasts look like at the moment?
Look, not a huge level of underperformance. I should stress that forecasting is a hard science at the best of times, and the housing market's always one of those strange beasts to try and forecast, because it can decouple from what's going on in the broader economy. But we think Melbourne might come off around 11%. We've actually got Sydney at 10%, but then we've got some of the other capital cities like Brisbane, Adelaide, Sydney at 8%. So we do end up with a national figure of 10%, just given that Sydney and Melbourne are such a huge component of the 8 capital city benchmark, which is really the one that most analysts are comparing the overall market to.
Now, as we said, forecasting is obviously really tough at the moment. The risks to either side are extreme. That's with all our forecasts at the moment, be it economic growth, the unemployment rate. There are just so many moving parts to the story at the moment, and a lot of it comes down to also when these social distancing measures will start to be eased. And there is some talk that maybe from mid-May we may start to see some of these measures eased off. When you're looking at, though, the risks to the house price forecast, either positive or negative or worst case / best case, you know, what are those sorts of risks are you looking at, and which way could the housing market turn out?
Yeah, look, it's a good question. It's probably worth stressing that our central scenario for a fall in house prices of 10% over 6 months is a very, very big contraction in prices. I mean, that annualises out at a rate of 20%. So the scenario that we're comparing the risks to is actually already a very sharp decline in prices. And we could argue that there's a case to be made that we don't see that kind of a fall in house prices. And I think if we are to see a smaller fall than 10%, it would probably come about on restrictions being a little bit eased, a little bit earlier than we're currently thinking. So our working assumptions for both GDP and the unemployment rate are that the economy remains shut down in its current form right through the June quarter, and we don't really see any material easing restrictions until the second half of the third quarter. Now, we seem to be doing as a country quite well on containing the virus, and as you say, it does raise the idea that we could see those restrictions eased a little bit earlier. And I think if that was to happen, then our forecast of 10% falls probably wouldn't end up materialising, and that would ideally be a good outcome. So that's really the risk there, that we see an undershoot. Now, of course, we could also get an overshoot, and I think A worst-case scenario, if you like, would probably involve the economy opening up, so the restrictions being eased, but then the virus returning, and that in turn resulting in another round of shutdowns. And I think the economy would be really negatively hit then. I'm not sure that we could quite afford to go through a stop-start pattern too many times. And if we did, the housing market would really take a hit. So in a lot of ways, the risk to our forecast really revolve around the opening of the economy and our capacity to contain the virus.
And you certainly, that's why we're seeing, I think, the government take quite a measured approach to talking about easing of these social distancing measures and easing of the economic restrictions currently underway. Now, one area would be really great to get your view on is housing construction. We know the housing construction cycle in Australia has been turning down for the last couple of years. We did see a peak in building approvals back in 2016, so it has been quite a slow downturn. There were some very early signs late 2019 and early 2020 that we're starting to see a pickup in building approvals come through, and that we may have started to see some improvement in housing construction in late 2020. Does this downturn in the housing market through the price declines that we've been talking about really start to change the housing construction view as well?
Look, the short answer is that it does. The housing construction cycle is driven very much by the interest rate cycle and also by the prices cycle. And what we saw is that resi construction was coming off as prices were falling in the kind of two-year period up to the middle of 2019. But then as the RBA began to ease monetary policy, that in turn supported house prices, we saw that building approvals series, which is the best forward-looking indicator of construction, start to stabilise and even pick up in the early part of this year. Now, the series is not obviously yet turned down, but it will turn down because, one, prices are expected to fall, and two, we're not going to be having that demand impulse by net overseas immigration coming through, certainly we think for the next 6 months. That underpins the demand for new housing construction. So we've materially downwardly revised our view on housing commencements now in 2020. In 2019, we saw about 175,000 new commencements for housing, and we think when we get to the end of 2020, we're looking at a figure of just 135,000. That's a big, big downgrade, and it really reflects the fact that the demand for new construction is just not going to be there over the near term.
It really just goes to show how important the population growth story has been for the Australian economy over recent years. Now, we have written extensively on the impact of the coronavirus on the Australian economy. Included in that is the new house price forecast that were published on Friday, the 17th of April. All our research is found on combankresearch.com.au. And Gareth, really thank you for joining us today.
It's a pleasure, Belinda. Thank you.